Saram, who killed his brother, who had disobeyed his order, and his mother, who had mentally committed adultery. Lord Parasaram, knowing the power of his father, who has practiced in meditation and austerity, killed his mother and brothers immediately. Purport. The word Prabhava Jnana is significant. Parasarama knew the prowess of his father, and therefore he agreed to carry out his father's order. He thought that if he refused to carry out the order, he would be cursed. But if he carried out his father's order, his father would be pleased. When his father was pleased, Parasarama would ask the benediction of having his mother and brothers brought back to life. Parasarama was confident in this regard, and therefore he agreed to kill his mother and brothers. Chandragagni, the son of Satyavati, was very much pleased with Parasaram and asked him to take any benediction he liked. Lord Parasaram replied, "Let my mother and brothers live again and not remember having been killed by me. This is the benediction I ask." Thereafter, by the benediction of Chandragagni, Lord Parasaram's mother and brothers immediately came alive and were very happy, as if awakened from sound sleep. Lord Parasaram had killed his relatives in accordance with his father's order, because he was fully aware of his father's power and austerity and learning. My dear King Parikshit, the sons of Kartavir Arjuna were defeated by the superior strength of Parasaram, never achieved happiness. They always remembered the killing of their father. Prabhupada. Chandragagni was certainly very powerful due to his austerities, but because of a slight offense by his poor wife, Renuka, he ordered that she be killed. This was certainly a sinful act, and therefore Chandragagni was killed by the sons of Kartavir Arjuna, as described herein. Lord Parasaram, who was also affected by sin, was of killing Kartavir Arjuna, although this was not very offensive. Therefore, whether one is Vikartavir Arjuna, Lord Parasaram, Chandragagni, or whoever one may be, one must act very cautiously and sagaciously. Otherwise, one must suffer the results of sinful activities. This is the lesson we receive from Vedic literature. Once when Parasaram left the ashram for the forest with Vasuman and his other brothers, the sons of Kartavir Arjuna took the opportunity to approach Chandragagni's residence to seek vengeance for their grudge. The sons of Kartavir Arjuna were determined to commit sinful deeds. Therefore, when they saw Chandragagni sitting by the side of the fire to perform yajna and meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was praised by the best of selected prayers, they took the opportunity to kill him. This is Sriti Yuga. Imagine reading something in Satya Yuga about Kali Yuga. The pitiful prayers, Renuka, the mother of Parasaram, and the wife of Chandragagni, begged for the wife of her husband. But the sons of Kartavir Arjuna, being devoid of qualities of Kshatriyas, were so cruel that despite her prayers, they forcibly cut off his head and took it away. Lamenting in grief for the death of her husband, the most chaste Renuka struck her own body with her hands and cried very loudly, "O Ram, my dear son Ram." Although the sons of Chandragagni, including Lord Parasaram, were a long distance from home, as soon as they heard Renuka loudly calling, "O Ram, O my son," they hastily returned to the ashram, where they saw their father already killed. Virtually bewildered by grief, anger, indignation, affliction, and lamentation, the sons of Chandragagni cried, "O Father, most religious, saintly person, you have left us and gone to the heavenly planets." Thus lamenting, Lord Parasaram entrusted his father's dead body to his brothers and personally took up his axe, having decided to put an end to the Kshatriyas on the surface of the world. O King, Lord Parasaranga went to Mahishmati, which was very doomed by the sinful killing of a Brahmana. In the midst of that city, he made a mountain of heads severed from the bodies of the sons of Kaitavir Arjuna. So now we come to a short point. So. Text 18. Tadrakina Nadim Goram Abrahmanya Vaya Baham Ekam Kritva Patri Vadam Kshetre Mangala Karini Tad Raktena Nadim Tad Raktena Nidim Goram Abrahmanya Bhavayaham Etam Kritva Putri Vadam Kshetre Mangala Karini. The blood of the bodies of these sons, Lord Parasaram, created a ghastly river, which brought great fear to the kings, but no respect for their mythical culture. Because the Kshatriyas, men of power and government, were performing simple activities, Lord Parasaram, on the plea of retaliating for the murder of his father, rid all the Kshatriyas from the face of the earth 21 times. Indeed, in the place known as Samanta Panchaka, he created 9 lakes filled with their blood. Purport. Parasaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His eternal mission is Puritranaya Sarunam Vinashaya Tadiskritam. Protect the devotees, annihilate the miscreants. Kill all the sinful men is one among the tasks of the incarnation of Godhead. Lord Parasaram killed all the Kshatriyas 21 times consecutively because they were disobedient to the Brahminical culture. That the Kshatriyas had killed his father was only a plea. The real fact is that because the Kshatriyas, the ruling class, had become polluted, their position was inauspicious. Brahminical culture is enjoined in the Shastra, especially in Bhagavad Gita, Chatura Vainamaya Shri Sam Guna Karma Vibhaga Shaha. According to the laws of nature, whether at the time of Parasaram or at the present, if the government becomes irresponsible and sinful, not caring for Brahminical culture, there will certainly be an incarnation of God like Parasaram to create a devastation by fire, famine, pestilence, or some other calamity. Whenever the government disrespects the supremacy of the personality of Godhead and fails to protect the incarnation of institution of Varnashram Dharma, it will certainly have to face such catastrophes as formerly brought about by Lord Parasaram. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimadhi Bhaktivinoda Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Vajarane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasipetyanthi Sitarana. Here we find that Janmadagni, although he was a great Brahmana, so powerful that although Parasaram killed his mother and his son and his brothers, still Jagannadagni was able to bring his mother or his wife and his sons back to life. Now, who can do that nowadays? Now, of course, Renuka went to get water from the Gandhis and she saw the Gandharva king, Chitaratha, and some apsaras playing. Now, if we were in a similar situation, and we went down to the Gandhis, and we saw a Gandharva, the king of the Gandharvas, who were considered to be extremely beautiful, and the apsaras, the most beautiful women in the universe, playing with each other, do you think we'd stop and look? Of course, we'd turn our eyes and run. The question is, which way we'd run? So she simply watched. I mean, you don't see that every day on television. But simply, somehow or another, it was in her mind, and Jagannadagni could read minds. Lucky people can't read our minds. And he cursed her simply for watching something which most people would be extremely difficult to not to try to observe such a thing. There's even a mystic power that you can acquire by which you can see the demigods playing in the heavenly planets. And then after killing Parasaram going after Kartavira Arjuna and killing him. Although it was a fair fight, it wasn't that Parasaram got him when he wasn't looking. He fought him fairly as a Kshatriya. And then cut off his 1,000 arms and his head. But still, that was considered a sinful act. He got some sinful reaction. So much so that it wound up that Janmadagni was killed. So what to speak of our poor selves? What kind of sinful reactions are we going to get? How much is our purity compared to Janmadagni or Lord Parasaram? Therefore, it says, these are examples so that we can become more careful. Of course, in Kali Yuga, our lifespan is at most 100 years. So we're already cursed. No one has to curse us. Just living in Kali Yuga means we've already been cursed. To curse a dead man is not really very, you know, fruitful. So if someone curses us, may you die immediately. But it's not a big deal because we're going to die pretty soon anyhow. Just delaying it a few years. On the other hand, it says that, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Shreyan Swadamo Viguna Parai Dharma Sunusita Shre Dharma Dinidam Shreya Parai Dharma Vyavaha. That it is better to perform one's own prescribed duty, even imperfectly, than to try to perform someone else's duty. Because instruction in the cause of one's own duty is better, because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. So of course we don't worry about performing our duty, because we don't know what our duty is. Most people think their only duty is to fill their empty stomach. And if they become a little bit more responsible in your world, then they try to fill a few other empty stomachs too. And if they can do that and put a roof over someone's house, they're considered Balyan. Balyan means very powerful, Kali Yuga. If you can maintain a family with a couple of children, you're considered to be quite powerful in Kali Yuga. But actually we have a duty in Kali Yuga. But most people don't know. They don't know what their duty is. They do know that they're trying somehow or another to get food. That's basically what they're worried about. If we can get something to eat and place to sleep. And if people will still love us when we're old and ugly. So this is the concern of people in Kali Yuga. But they don't know Anad Bhavati Bhutani Parjanat Anasambhava. That all living entities subsist on food grains. That we know. For instance, if we had a Sunday program without a feast, no one would come. Maybe the chanting. Some people would like the chanting. Maybe they come to hear the chanting. But most people wouldn't. They come to eat. Just like if you want to find out how many devotees live in a temple, the best time to do it is to go to prasadam. Or at night, if you sneak into the tent, into the ashram, see how many people are sleeping. Other times, it may be difficult to ascertain exactly how many devotees are actually in the temple. So, Anad Bhavati Bhujani, all the entities actually subsist on food grains. But the amazing thing is that food grains come from rain. That we actually need rain. But because they've disconnected reality, we say reality, the fact that rain doesn't come automatically. The modern philosophy is that everything is automatic. It's all coming by chance. Therefore, they feel no responsibility for the rain. They call it climate change. They call it climate change. They blame it on the cows passing gas. And their solution is kill all the cows. Of course, people pass gas too, so let's kill them too. And then there won't be any climate change, because there won't be hardly anyone left. But the planet will be happy. But rain actually comes from the performance of sacrifice. Now we ourselves may have some disconnect with that also. Because I've never met a demigod, and I don't know if anyone here has ever met a demigod. We see clouds sometimes, but we don't see anyone putting there. We don't see Indra putting, with his hand, cloud there. turns on the cloud and starts raining. We've never seen that. Therefore, we also have some kind of disconnect between what's going on in the material world and what our real situation is. Therefore, people are, what to speak of ourselves, who've been chanting Hare Krishna and reading this philosophy, people have no idea that even that they're not their body, what to speak of the fact of how karma works. Or any of the basic things like time, or the fact that there's an Ishvara, a controller, and he has his representatives. 500 years ago, on this planet, that people actually believed in gods and demigods. They had, even in this region, Slovenia, when people were actually more civilized, when there were demigod worshippers. Then they believed that all the different aspects of material nature had their controlling deities behind them. Because they were not really civilized either, because they didn't know about cow protection, or they didn't know about primordial culture, but at least they had some idea that things were not coming out of accident, and therefore they worshipped their gods to get rain. Like Nanda Maharaj and the coward men of Vrindavan, they were going to perform Indra Yagya. They went to the Brahmins who were performing sacrifice to ask them if they could help them out with the Yagya. So that, because Indra was supplying rain, and therefore they got food grains, so that, as Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, our duty is Vaishyas. So this is Treta Yuga. Obviously, there was cow protection going on, because the Vaishyas were doing their duty, but the Kshatriyas were not doing their duty. And because the Kshatriyas weren't doing their duty, because they were disobeying, to some degree or another, the Brahmins. Therefore, Parasaram wanted to rid the contamination 21 times. Of generations. Now, he doesn't say he would kill the Brahmins. He didn't say he'd kill the Vaishyas. He didn't kill the Shudras. He only killed the Kshatriyas. Nowadays, everyone gets killed in these wars because no one's doing their duty. Everyone's getting the reaction. Everyone's getting the reaction, it says here, by pestilence or by famine. But everyone gets involved because no one knows what they're supposed to be doing. Everyone is doing something sinful. And what is sinful? Trividam narakasya dam dvaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tita lobas tasmat ekam trayam chaya. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. That every sane man should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. So, following lust, following anger, following greed, is considered to be sinful. It is not the end. So that seems that, what is the chance for anyone, Kali Yuga? Ekan yapi tu karmani. That anyone who comes free from these three gates performs acts conducive to self-realization, and thus he attains to the supreme destination. So it's not that we can stop acting out of lust or anger and greed, because we're just covered by it. We have no idea how to be free from it. Well, we have an idea of how to become free from it. But we just don't give it up. We just don't walk out of this body into our spiritual body. We're covered by lust, anger, and grief. But it has to be regulated. And therefore we have shastra. Yakshastra vidhini musrija. Vartate kamakarata. Asasadima vakmati nasukam naparangiti. The one who gives up shastra and acts whimsically attains either peace or happiness of the Supreme Destination. So everyone has their duty according to Varna and Ashram, and they should follow it. Regulation of lust, anger, and grief. We don't stop eating, but we eat prasadam. We don't stop sleeping, but we don't sleep like a bear for 6 months. So we have to regulate our eating, sleeping, bathing, defending, according to how Krishna says, that we need to eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little, etc. We try to do what's necessary and at the same time do something in what Krishna wants us to do, which is in this age, spread Krishna, become Krishna conscious, be hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then distribute it to others. That's the only sacrifice in this age. Now, most people in this material world at the present time will think we're completely crazy. Of course, they think we're crazy, but then we told them that. They think we're completely crazy. That the only thing in life is to spread Krishna consciousness. Spread the names, fame, glories, and pastimes of some Aborigine coward boy from Vrindavan. There's a city, a bunch of pigs running around. They think we're mad. Anyhow, we're not going to. Most people, they're going to leave their bodies thinking we're mad. They're not even going to think about us. We're not even worth thinking about for most people to think. But the fact is that Krishna is God. Whether you call him Krishna or Yahweh or Adonai or Jehovah, there is a God in Ishvara, and he has his laws set up in the material world in which we're living. And in the Vedic culture, there was the Shudras performed help assisted with the sacrifice, the Vaishyas provided the ingredients, the Kshatriyas made the arrangements, and the Brahmins performed the sacrifice, and different things in the material world would happen, like rain would come, there would be prosperity because of the rain, especially that. People would sometimes go to the Brahmin priests and they could cure their diseases, or they get a wife or a house, whatever. So sacrifice was going on. Now in this age, there may be some kind of, the only sacrifice recommended is chanting the holy name. And as soon as we stop chanting the holy name, there will be a tendency to become bewildered by the illusory energy, because we're so much in association. Except when we're not chanting the holy name, if we're engaged somehow or another in some activity which is conducive to spreading the holy name, to assisting the holy name, somehow or another connected to the holy name, then we may not be so Krishna conscious during that activity, but it'll induce us, it'll inspire us, it'll gradually purify us so that we will become attracted to the holy name. So for those who have intelligence, they should talk about Krishna. Those who can organize, they should organize for the movement, for the Hare Krishna movement, for the Sankirtan movement. Those who have some resources should utilize it so that the Hare Krishna movement can actually be more effective. And those who have none of these talents, they can assist somehow or another. So that's everyone's duty, to somehow or another spread the Hare Krishna movement. It's kind of new in the Western world, and therefore we ourselves, because we've been conditioned by our modern society, our upbringing, our schooling, our parents, whatever, we may not think the Hare Krishna movement is so important, but it's the most important movement. And without the Hare Krishna movement, then the society will be at the end of Kali Yuga quicker than we can imagine. We've seen that in the last so many years how quickly Kali Yuga is taking hold. Who could imagine that 10 years ago that the leaders of society would be telling people that you should stop eating vegetables and even meat, you should eat insects. Who could imagine? Could you imagine a politician 10 years ago telling everyone to eat crickets? He probably wouldn't have gotten elected. But now it's advanced. Now whole societies are advocating for, I don't even know what it stands for, lesbian, bisexual, homosexual, transsexual, whatever, rainbow colors. And we're only in five, we're not even at the beginning of Kali Yuga, we're just in the interim between Kali Yuga and the last Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga. We're in the intermediate stage. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is present, progressing things very, very quickly, so people will realize either I chant Hare Krishna and eat prasadam, or I read magazines and I eat crickets. I have my choice. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making that choice. So we should make the choice. We should see that all our hopes that we've advertised in all these magazines and on the radio and on the internet, how wonderful we're going to enjoy this material world, it's not a fact. People who are heading our society are not heading us to the promised land. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't believe any promises that they tell us. They're heading us to the darkest regions of existence, and they're their leaders. They're already there. They're already in hell. They're just inviting us to join us. To join them. So we have to make a choice whether we take seriously the holy name and take seriously the process of spreading Krishna consciousness and becoming Krishna conscious, or we'll become a member of the sheep entering into the slaughterhouse like everyone else. That's our choice. So with that happy note, I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I understood from Bhagavad Gita that one in goodness knows what is to be done and what is not to be done. On what level of activity is this to be understood? It can be distressing thinking that a complex material situation, there is only one right solution which we have to find out, and if we don't succeed in finding that, we displease Krishna.
Well, it seems like multiple questions all rolled into one.
Yes,
Krishna knows what's to be done and what's not to be done. So if we're in Krishna consciousness, we actually in direct contact with Krishna, we'll know exactly what Krishna wants. As a matter of fact, if we're an instrument for Krishna, he'll do everything that's necessary through his energy, through his spiritual energy. And therefore, there won't be any worrying whether we're doing the right thing or not, because it'll all be directed by Krishna. In our particular stage, better we become thoughtful and therefore pray if we don't know what to be done, what's to be done, then we pray to Krishna until humbly and research. And then when it becomes clear what's to be done, and if we do that, we can do it with determination and Krishna consciousness. So there's a process. Amari Vama Dami Vama Hingsa Shantam Arjava Acharya Pasanam Sochan Stiri Matma Vinigra. In the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 8 to 12, Krishna says it begins with humility. Now we're walking around, we're thinking that we know everything, so it's very hard to be humble if you know everything. Except if you're God, he knows everything, but he's very humble also. But we don't know anything, but we're propped up, thinking we know everything. And because of that, it's very hard to find out what actually we're supposed to be doing. Because if we don't know anything, we won't know what to do. And if we think we know everything, when we don't, that's even worse, because we'll never find out what to do. We'll never investigate what to do. Therefore, the first stage is Samadhi Bhava Dhammi Bhava Hingsa Shanti Arjuna Acharya Pasanam Socha Vinigra. First thing is become a little humble and private. And then we can practice the activities which are conducive to understanding what's to be done. Samadhi Bhava Dhammi Bhava Hingsa. Stop becoming envious of everyone. Try to become gentle, non-violent, shanti and peaceful, arduous and simple. And then we can actually hear knowledge with a clear mind. If our minds are cluttered with enviousness and hatred, simplicity and whatever, then it's very hard to hear in. Then we can begin to understand what we're supposed to be doing, what we're not supposed to be doing. Then we can do it. Acharya Bhatanam, Socham. We can become clean and we can learn the process of cleanliness. Brahminical life. Stheryam, Atma, Vinigraha. And we can become stable. Nischa. So there's a process and it goes on. There's 19 qualities, I believe, 19 of knowledge. So we learn the process of knowledge. Then we can actually know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Otherwise, it's not possible. Anything else?
Here. Maharaj, this punishment as a form of this Lady Renuka, the wife, is considered much excessive, probably, as I understand from commentary.
Well, it's a little unusual. Your wife wouldn't set a Gandharva when you take an axe and cut her head off. Probably would be appreciated nowadays. But this is Treta Yuga. Things were much more strict at that time. No one came and arrested Jamadagni for doing it. But Parasurama understood that, you know, this was... Even he thought it was unusual. But he understood the power of Jamadagni. He wasn't just an ordinary person killing his wife. And it wouldn't have made it to the Bhagavatam. Some husband killed his wife. They do it all every day. They don't get into the Bhagavatam. But there's a lesson to be learned. There, she just did a little deviation, and she got a big reaction. And her sons did a little deviation, disobeying their father, and they get a big reaction. Now we do it all the time. It's unusual the son follows the father. Well, the wife is so chaste. But there's a lesson, an example of how strict material nature can be. Because Jamadagni is just an instrument. It doesn't happen by chance. But this is a particular age where you deviate even slightly from what you're supposed to do, then you get a big reaction from it. So there's an illustration for it. And even in this age, we don't notice because we're already bewildered. We're already getting so many reactions. We don't notice how I'm deviating, because that's my whole life is a deviation. But for those who practice devotional service, they become a little more sensitive. They become a little bit more aware of what the reactions are if they don't follow. And this is an example of how strictly one has to follow in Treta Yuga, which is still, it's not a pure yuga. Still contaminated, but relatively a thousand times more pure than Kali Yuga.
I'm sorry, just one more question. You said that Parashuram probably understood this excessiveness. I mean,
well, I think anyone would think it was a little excessive.
but then my question is, what should we learn from this? Because he didn't.
If your father is a devotee, pure personality like Jamadagni, you better follow him. But he understood my father is not, if our father told us to kill our mother, we wouldn't really probably want to do it because our fathers have no power to rectify the situation. The police would come and arrest us. But Parasuram understood the power of his father. And that if he pleased his father, just like it says here, his father could rectify the whole situation by giving him a benediction. So Parasuram didn't think I'm going to kill my father and brother. Brothers, and that's the end of it. He understood that if I please my father, everything will be satisfied and solved.
I mean, I have a problem with that. He trusted his the judgment of the father, which is completely fine. Of course, father is very qualified, but father wasn't completely right on this topic.
I don't know. You judging the father? I wouldn't judge. I was there with Jadavadani. I wouldn't start lecturing him.
What?
If I was living with Jadavadani at that time, and he told his son Parasuram killed his mother, I wouldn't start objecting. I may find myself in a difficult situation. Now, in that view, in other words, it wasn't disadvantageous to his mother because she deviated, however slight it was. And therefore, she got rectified. She got purified. Therefore, they woke up. They forgot everything. They had learned the lesson. They had actually made some advancement. On the other hand, John Madagni had to suffer the reactions to it. So, Chaitanya Yuga, everything is very strict, but if you follow, then everything turns out better. Even in Kali Yuga, where everything's not very strict, but we follow, we get so much benediction, even by following slightly. So the closer we get to reality, the more benedictions there are. And if someone gives us some chastisement, when we get some reaction for our sinful activities and it causes us to fall more strictly, that's a great benediction. Because we're getting closer to reality, which is all unlimited benedictions. Anything else? Yes.
How humble a person looks like to be real humble, not fake.
Shut. We hear, we try to understand what we've heard, we assimilate the knowledge, and then to the best of our ability, to the best of our sincerity, we try to carry it out. So we're not just humble separately, we're humble by Tadvidi, Prani, Patena, Pari, Prashtana, Sevya. So just learn, try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service in him. The self-blessed souls can impart knowledge in you because they have learned the truth. So that submission is a sign of ego. It's the beginning of ego. But as Prabhupada writes in that purport, blind following and asserting words of condemn. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. So real humility, that's only the beginning of humility. The real humility will manifest it when we find out how wonderful Krishna is. We realize he's unlimitedly wonderful and how unlimitedly wonderful Krishna and his devotees are. And when we fall in love with them, then that humility will be very profound. Because love and real humility go together. When we realize how wonderful someone is, then we naturally become humble. Congratulations, my Bhagavatam.